It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening to The Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hope you had a great weekend, everybody. Boys are here, ready to go. All the important players are here in the man cave. Seton's here, McLovin's here, Paulie's here, yours truly. And then there's Fritzy. Good to see you, Todd. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good, good. How's morale?
Morale's great.
Okay.
It's good to see you guys gathered up, and I hope to be joining you guys in the very near future.
Okay. Well, you come in when you're ready to come in. We'll be here waiting for you. All right. If you'd like to get in touch with the program, best and worst of the weekend since we weren't here yesterday, 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle with DP Show. Spent a little time with Charles Barkley last hour. If you missed that, you can go to the Dan Patrick Show app. If you miss any interview, you can go there. We say good morning to our radio partners and, of course, TV partner, youtube.com/TheDanPatrickShow. Tiger and Peyton versus Phil and Brady wasn't the big golf event we wanted this spring, but it certainly turned out to be what we needed right now. At its peak, over 6 million tuned in to watch that event. The match had everything you wanted, though. Brady looked like us, me. Struggled tremendously through the first several holes. Charles Barkley, not known for his consistent golf play, was killing Brady on the broadcast. Tom even split his pants, bending down to take the ball out of the hole. He did have some nice shots later on, but you saw a human side of Tom Brady on Sunday. Peyton Manning had some good trash talk there. There were a couple of them that stood out. He said this about who he was thinking of having caddy for him during the event.
I was thinking maybe Belichick. Bill Belichick, caddy for me. And just to see how that kind of would have worked.
Wow.
Now, it might not have been good for me either, because Bill brings up bad things for me as well. Yeah, that's probably who I would have brought. Bill Belichick.
So that's courtesy of TNT. You can hear the raindrops in the background. And as Charles said, it didn't stop raining the entire afternoon. Most importantly, they raised $20 million for COVID-19 relief. These guys are used to winning and winning big, whether it's a Masters or a Super Bowl, but they all four credited with a victory over this weekend. It was just a lot of fun. And I don't know. Usually what happens is we see something and we do it one time. We go, let's do it again. And then again. And then again. And then maybe it waters it down a little bit. Now, Sergio Garcia and Drew Brees want to pair up. I think that you have the possibilities are endless of what kind of matchups you could have here. If you have other quarterbacks who want to play with a golf pro, I think that's great. could be a lot of fun. The question is availability, getting people to be able to go. You know, that was Tiger's home course. Tom in Tampa flying over there. You know, Phil had to come from the West Coast. And Peyton, I don't know if Peyton's in Denver or he's in Indianapolis or he's in New Orleans. But, you know, these guys all got there probably courtesy of Wheels Up. They were a big sponsor of this. But it was fun. It was fun to see it. And I did appreciate the fact that Brady looked like every golfer this weekend, or at least a lot of golfers this weekend. And then you could see when it just clicked, when he had a couple of good shots, and then all of a sudden Brady started talking trash. Peyton was very subtle with things he was bringing up. Phil, the world according to Phil, he just a simple pitch shot, and then you're just going, just hit it, please. Just hit it. You know, it was like 10 minutes where he was going to explain everything about it. It was like Harvey Penick, the what is that, red book that Harvey put out many, many decades ago. And then I thought Tiger looked awesome. I think caught up in all of the fanfare with Brady and, you know, Phil and certainly Peyton. Tiger just went, he was robotic, and I thought he looked great. And that would be the one thing. My biggest takeaway is the way Tiger looked, how comfortable he looked on the tee box. Because that's usually when he gets squirrely. He was hitting it where he wanted to hit it and hitting it. You know, he's not going to hit. Mickelson's turning 50, and he hits the ball a ton. Tiger, I think, realizes, let me just be, you know, I don't have to be the old Tiger. I'm an older Tiger, and I have to play the golf course now differently. And I think that you saw that yesterday. All right, McLevin, you got a poll question for me?
I did. I put up the first hour. Are you okay with the NBA just bringing back 16 playoff teams? 85% say yes.
Yeah, I'm okay. If you still want to see Zion Williamson, I mean, I'm trying to think of any other team where you go, you know, I'd still like to hear and watch them. I don't know if there's anybody other than Zion Williamson. So let's just get it going. Let's get it started. The less teams, the less risk. And if you're going to have 16 instead of 30, I'm all for that. ESPN's Brian Windhorst said yesterday, there's a good chance the NBA will just have a 16-team playoff with no reference to conference. So that means you could have the Clippers and the Lakers in the finals. Wasn't it decades ago when the commissioner, David Stern, I said, what's the ideal matchup in the NBA finals? And he said, the Lakers versus the Lakers. This would be as close as you could get to that. If you had the Clippers versus the Lakers in the finals, now you might have an argument from Milwaukee with the Greek Freak against the Lakers or the Clippers. I don't know how many matchups you're looking at saying, boy, that would be great for the NBA finals. Clippers-Lakers, that would be great. If you had Bucks Lakers, Bucks Clips, I think that could be really entertaining as well. But according to Brian Windhorst, there is the possibility of all 30 teams returning to action. It's on the table, according to Brian. Chances of that happening appear to be, quote, very dim. Here was another thing that came out over the weekend. I didn't know that there were tapes from the Dream Team. Jack McCallum wrote a book on the Dream Team. And we've been debating this for weeks now. Did Michael Jordan really freeze out? Isaiah didn't want him on the Dream Team. Did he go to management? Did he go to Chuck Daly? Did he go to the commissioner of the NBA? Well, Jack McCallum, great writer, and he's with Michael Jordan. And the conversation had to do with Isaiah Thomas. So this is what was said on the Dream Team Tapes podcast.
They called me to ask me to play. Rock don't call. See, Rock, I love to play with Isaiah Thomas. Here's what he said, you know what? Chuck that one, Isaiah. So Isaiah's not going to be a part of the team.
If you didn't hear, he said, I don't want to play if Isaiah Thomas is on the team.
That's Jack McCallum. So here, Jordan, and Jordan says, Rod Thorne called me, and I said, Rod, I won't play if Isaiah Thomas is on the team. He assured me, he said, quote, you know what? Chuck, as in Chuck Daly, doesn't want Isaiah, so Isaiah is not going to be part of the team. Rod Thorne worked for the NBA. I think he was second in command to the commissioner. So it did happen. Michael didn't want Isaiah Thomas on the team. And why Michael wants to change history now? Own it. You look bad. You look small if, okay, you did it. You did it in the moment. Look, I don't like him. I don't like how they played against me. They beat me up. Maybe he froze me out in the All-Star game. I'm fine with all of that. If you don't like him, he's not one of your guys. He's not a guy who's going to want to play golf and sit around, smoke cigars, and drink. I own it. Like, you owned everything else, and then it gets to this, and we all know that you did this. It was common knowledge that you did this. I was just surprised that he didn't acknowledge it and say, you know what? I didn't want him. Now, you could, if he wants to worry about his image, he could say, you know what, on second thought, Isaiah was great enough that he should have been on the team. It was just, I wanted guys who were going to have fun. And I'm fine with that, because that's what Michael wanted. He wanted to have fun. He knew they were going to win a gold medal. He got to play with some of the greats of all time, guys that would allow Michael to be Michael, because it was Michael's team. You cannot tell me that Michael would go, hey, I'm not picking the roster. I don't care who's on the team. He did care who was on the team. And he was not going to have Isaiah Thomas on the team. Yeah, Paul.
Rod Thorne, a month ago after the Isaiah episode of The Last Dance, said, mm-hmm. quote, there was never anything in my conversation with Jordan that had to do with Isaiah Thomas, period. Mm-hmm. He said he had nothing to do with it. And Michael never brought it up to him, and he never heard him bring it up to anyone else in the league office.
But Michael Jordan is bringing it up to Jack McCallum while they're doing the Dream Team book. While they're there, Jack is writing about the Dream Team. He's gathering all this information to write a book on the Dream Team and has Michael on tape saying he talked to Rod Thorne. Yes, he.
But he does say in there, he was just like, well, Chuck doesn't want him on the team either, so yeah. It's not going to happen. So it sounds like Isaiah had already been removed from the team.
Well, I think they probably had internal discussions. But Michael says he doesn't want Isaiah on the team. The Chuck Daly part of this, that's, now Chuck's no longer alive. That to me is more interesting. I assume that Chuck had to sign off on this because Isaiah was going to say to Chuck Daly, his former coach, and Chuck Daly had left the Pistons. I don't know why this is still an issue. I guess I just want, if Michael's doing a documentary, then tell the truth. That's all. Now, all of a sudden, he got food poisoning. All right, what is it? Flu? Food poisoning? Altitude sickness? What is it? Smoking? Drinking? I don't know. Like, this doesn't... I think it lessens him a little bit. The more honest you are with it, you go, okay, that's who you were. I get it. But you can't sit here and go, man, I'm really worried how I'm going to be viewed if I didn't want Isaiah on the team. I get why you didn't want Isaiah on the team. I don't blame you. You had the power to not have Isaiah on the team because he would not have been fun to be around. Magic didn't want him around, reportedly, because Isaiah was spreading rumors about Magic's sexuality. Like, these are all things that were, you know, they were known. Now, you had to seek them out, but they were known. And I think that Mike, you just own that and say, look, I didn't get along with him. I didn't want him on the team. You know, the hard part was convincing Chuck to not have him on the team. But either they have me on the team or they don't. And they chose to have me. That's all you have to say. Michael was already petty. We've seen this. He made up rivalries. He made up grudges. He made up stuff. This you don't have to make up. I'm watching the Lance Armstrong documentary. Now that's more of a documentary because Lance is not happy with how he's portrayed here. Lance was not given the final word where they go, hey, this guy's saying this about you, Lance. Now we get your reaction. Lance is not pleased. Not pleased at all. But that's why this might be a really good documentary. Because he's got F-bombs. They're 30 seconds into the documentary, and he's double birding, and he's dropping an F-bomb. I went, okay, you got me here. I'm going to watch this one for a little while. Because I didn't feel like it was manipulated. It felt like this person is doing this documentary. I'm surprised Lance Armstrong did this. I'm shocked that he did it because he's not coming off well. And he said these things on our show when I've talked to him, and he's been, you think, very forthcoming, but there are people who still feel like he's lying. Whenever he talks, he's lying because he did this and even says, I had 10,000 lies and probably more than that. But this one feels like more of a documentary than the Jordan documentary. Yeah, Paulie.
It was 2013 with Oprah where Lance sat down and admitted he doped. Do you think he should have stuck with it, should have held and said, and just gone wire to wire like guys like Clemens and just say, Nope, didn't do it. Barry Bonds. Nope, didn't do it. And just gone wire to wire and denied.
Yeah, but Bonds and Clemens didn't have lawsuits pending. Lance has lawsuits pending. He was being sued by the government. They wanted $100 million. I think they settled for $5 million with Lance. He had a lot. His lies were expensive lies. Clemens and Bonds, you can lie in baseball. Hey, it's just part of the game. Hey, you never tested positive. Lance was so calculated. This was so, you know, systemic with him and what he was doing and how he was doing it. And if you want to watch a 30 for 30, watch it on Greg LeMond. Greg LeMond won the Tour de France, and he won it before Lance. And Greg LeMond, to me, is a true American hero with what he did in the Tour de France, because Americans weren't well received. And even his teammate actually screwed him over in winning the Tour de France one year, because he was supposed to be helping him. Bernard Hinault was supposed to be helping him, but he wanted to win his fifth because that put him in this exclusive category. Greg LeMond won the Tour de France, even though his team and the biggest name in the sport were trying to circumvent that during the race. And then he gets shot by his brother-in-law, has all of these shotgun pellets in him, and he comes back a couple of years later and wins maybe the most dramatic Tour de France in history. He did it, and you feel like you watch him, he did it legitimately. And then they realize Greg LeMond stopped racing when he saw what was coming. And what was coming was Lance Armstrong. And he knew he could not, he was not doing what they were doing. And that was EPO, doping. Yes, Eden.
So is Lance so much more of a villain compared to everybody else who was caught doping in like all of these different sports because of how ferocious he was in his defense?
Yeah.
I mean, even the Livestrong stuff, you can almost excuse by saying, like, right, it became so big that how do you not continue this sort of secret life? But is that where the negative part comes in, is just how brutal he was?
Well, I think that he was really tough on people who were accusing him. Really, really tough, and tried to destroy them. He and Greg LeMond, I don't think, have a good relationship at all. And he did raise this money, and I think people felt duped by him. He did a great thing. He was like Robin Hood. Like, he was doing a great thing, but in the end, was he really doing a great thing? And he was huge. In the documentary, he talks about, hey, I was there where LeBron is right now, where the biggest names in the sport are. When you thought of Lance Armstrong, and I remember when I was working with Sports Illustrated, and they were making suggestions on who Terry McDonald, the great editor for Sports Illustrated, said, you know, who do you think for Sportsman of the Year? And I said, what about Lance Armstrong? And there was silence. And I went, oh, okay, is this either good or bad? And they couldn't give him Sportsman of the Year because of all the baggage that went with him. Now, you can say, did we know the same thing about Sosa and Maguire, that they had them as the co-Sportsman of the Year on the cover? But Lance was so much baggage with him that they didn't want to do that and have it blow up in their faces. But the Lance Armstrong, they got one more episode that's coming up next Sunday. I'm curious to see it. But I watched the Greg LeMond 30 for 30 last night, and I thought it was fascinating. I mean, it really was. And I knew the story of Greg, but just how his own team, because he had this legendary writer who was going for his fifth. Greg thinks he's going to win. Their teammates, Greg had to let Bernard Hinault make up over 2 minutes. He basically had to go slow. So this wild. And then you have the guy who is their coach who is saying all these negative things to LeMond during the race. Like, what are you doing? Like, let Bernard catch up to you. And Greg LeMond let Bernard Hinault win the Tour de France. Let him win the Tour de France. Yeah, McLevin.
I was wondering how you were spitting all these Greg LeMond facts out. I'm like, wow, Dan remembers that really, really well.
No. It just kind of jolted me a little bit because you're thinking what Lance did at the Tour de France. Greg LeMond opened the door for Americans, it felt like, at the Tour de France. And look, we didn't care about the Tour de France. No one did until an American got involved. It's like the America's Cup. We didn't care about the America's Cup till we lost it. And then, damn it, we're so upset that these multimillionaires, billionaires, like, the America's Cup's named after us. They can't take it to Australia. Those Kiwis, what are they doing? Like, we didn't care until we lost it. And then we wanted it back. I only cared about it when it was Ted Turner. Ted Turner, I wanted to be on that boat. Captain, what was it? Captain Courageous? What was that Sports Illustrated cover? Where he's got his little skipper hat from Gilligan's Island on. But that's when it was fun. All right, let me take a break here. We'll get some phone calls here. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address dp at danpatrick.com. Dean Blandino, who does a wonderful job, former Fox, he used to be the rules official for the NFL. He headed up the officials. He now works for a Fox NFL college football rules analyst, and we'll talk to him about these new rules. I want to know about the sky judge. I want to know what the role of the sky judge is going to be this upcoming season, because I've heard a couple things. It might just be for preseason. I get the feeling that they might roll it out for the preseason, but they would use it incorporated into the regular season. So Dean will join us coming up in about an hour. Your phone calls in the on-deck circle will give you our best and worst of the weekend as well. Glad to have you on board. 20 after the hour. This is the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddy as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Couple of phone calls, best and worst of the weekend. We're doing it today since we weren't here yesterday. Steven in Iowa leads us off. Hi, Steve.
Good morning. I'm calling on behalf of my three-month-old Steven. He's clocking in at 28 inches, 19 pounds. And we both want to thank you and the Danettes for a lot of late nights and early mornings with the podcast, keeping us company. But the worst of the weekend was the weather at the golf tournament. That crew out there really gave it their all to give us that TV event. And the best was Peyton played the round of his life. I was just absolutely amazed by all the shots he was hitting. And it was also interesting to see how slight Tiger Woods looks next to Tom and Peyton. You know, on TV, Tiger usually has a really buff build, but it kind of shows what a 6'4", 6'5", quarterback looks like in comparison. So, thanks, guys.
Well, thank you, and good luck with the little Steven. I think you're surprised when you see some of these quarterbacks in person because we see them being thrown around like ragdolls. Now, Ben Roethlisberger and Cam, those are two guys when you see them, you realize they're bigger than the defensive linemen coming after them. But if you look at Matt Ryan, Matt Ryan's a legit 6'6". Peyton is at least 6'5". And Tom Brady is 6'4". Like, they're good-sized guys, which makes it even more amazing when you look out there and you see Kyler Murray is maybe 5'11". Russell Wilson Jr. III is 6 feet, but he's well put together at 6 feet. To play that position, different sizes and shapes here, but these quarterbacks are a lot bigger in person than you think. And Ben was the first guy. I remember meeting Ben. That was at the Super Bowl. Was that Jacksonville?
Detroit. I think we ran into him.
We had a black turtleneck and a large
gold cross. That was the Detroit. I think it was Detroit.
Was it?
I'm almost sure of it because I saw. Yeah,
he had this huge cross around his neck.
We were at like a little party.
Yes,
and he had an all black outfit on and a big cross.
Yeah, but I remember you see him and you go, he's a big dude, good size, and then you meet Cam. And then you go, that's a big dude there. But you see how these defenses treat these guys, and you're like, whoa. Yeah, Paul.
Sometimes it's the opposite. You see a professional athlete, and you're like, that person plays competitive sports. First time we had Joe Montana in studio, he's 6 foot tall, maybe 180 pounds, and not muscular. I know he's retired, but he's still generally the same height and weight. You're like, that guy couldn't have played professional sports.
Yeah. Yeah, McLovin.
In the right system, he could.
That was one of my favorite and least favorite moments of the show when I called you out in front of Joe Montana.
He was such a nice guy until that moment.
Oh, and then he said he had, what, four system Super Bowl rings or something?
Yeah.
That was good stuff. Arnaldo in Rhode Island. I hope that we spelled that correctly.
Hello.
Hey.
Hi. 5'10", 170 pounds. All right. Best of the weekend. Definitely Tom Brady ripping his pants. I live in Rhode Island, so I get all the Brady lovers out here. So getting to see him embarrass himself after he was having a real crappy front nine was good to see.
Oh, I think he got the last laugh with that. I think Brady, typical Brady fashion, he had a nice fourth quarter comeback there.
He still lost.
Wow.
And worst of the weekend was the match. The match wasn't very entertaining. Tiger didn't talk much. Tom Brady, he's not really much fun to listen to talk. At least he's not at this point in his career. Peyton Manning looked like he plays golf every single day. He looked like a pro out there. And then Phil Mickelson took his mouth off without having anything entertaining to say.
All right. You're in the minority because I thought it was entertaining. Now, maybe it was entertaining just because there's nothing else on. And desperate times, desperate measures. I was entertained by it. I was. And I give Brady a lot of credit because you put yourself out there. If you know you're an eight, by the time you get to the moment and it's live on TV and you're mic'd up and everything, now you become at least a 10, maybe an 11 or 12 handicap. Because, man, do you start to get tight. And that swing gets a little shorter. And that's why he was hitting it left and right. He had no idea what he was doing. and you see Peyton is playing kind of well, Charles Barkley giving you grief, Justin Thomas giving you grief, Tiger's giving you grief. Everybody's playing sort of okay, and then all of a sudden, Tom hit the shot from the fairway, and then you could just see the competitor in him. But he was not on Peyton's level there. And I just enjoyed seeing Tiger play. That's all. He didn't have to say anything. I was entertained by it. And I was happy to see Tiger swing effortlessly. Like, he wasn't trying to hit it past, you know, anybody. He just played. And I think if he has that mindset, should be a great year for him, just from the health perspective. Because he wasn't ready for the Players' Championship due to health. And, you know, he was even asked during the match, and I think Charles asked him about this layoff here. I think it's helped him considerably. He looked comfortable. Jeff in Detroit joining us. Hi, Jeff. Best and worst of the weekend.
Hey, Dan. What up, though? Good to see the fellas back in the studio. Minus Fritz. We waiting on you, brother. Listen, you know Jordan didn't have the flu game. It was altitude sickness. You can't say Air Jordan and then turn around and say you had altitude sickness. It's like Karl Malone not knowing a zip code in Utah. Aren't you the mailman? My best and worst of the weekend.
Yeah.
Best was this weather, man. I had a good time with the weather. Got to meet, see some people that I hadn't seen in a while. The worst, man, I stood on the scale. It's here to be continued. I'm getting big, man. Listen, I think I got quarantine and cuisine mixed up, man. So, yeah, I got to lose some weight. With that being said, what y'all cooking for me Friday?
I'm not sure yet, but thank you. Thank you, Jeff. To be continued.
Jeff set him up and knocked him down.
Yeah, he's killing it.
A little stand-up routine.
Yeah. 2.5 minutes.
Yeah. Now, that's a stand-up routine, Todd.
That was excellent. That was excellent.
Yeah. You can use that to be continued.
Me personally or just as a joke?
Well, as a joke.
Or does it work twofold because it refers to me and being a joke?
Yeah, I don't know.
There's a little shot there.
Like, you don't have to believe everything that you're saying.
You know, that's true.
Yeah, you could just have some fun.
But to be continued, that's better than
you did stand up. To be continued, if you did stand up, you don't do stand up anymore. So,
but if I did, I might have to steal that because you got the two there. So that sounds like you're going to say like 200 and something pounds, but it's be continued instead.
McLevin, what was the poll question we went with?
Are you okay with the NBA just bringing back 16 NBA playoff games? And 86% now are okay with it.
Yeah, you want to pick out another one?
I was actually going to ask people what their favorite part of the golf match was. I don't know if that's relevant, but was it Brady being bad? Was it Peyton trash-talking? Was it Tiger being really good? I don't know what Phil's thing is.
I just think it was Tom Brady.
I agree.
Because I think I related to that. And there are not many things that I relate to in Tom Brady's world, but I did that where I went, he just wants to crawl into a hole and hide. He wants to be substituted. He wants somebody to, you know, send in his backup quarterback here. Yes, Eden.
Yeah, it's like every time you see him hitting out of the trees, be like, oh, yeah, I know that view. I know that view for sure.
He was hitting shots hard left. Hard left. And I know that feeling because you get tight and all of a sudden you try to swing harder and then you're quicker and it's just going zoop. You turn on a left blinker. Yeah, see.
And the thing that's so crushing about golf is that with each swing, there's so much hope. Every time you pick up the club, you're like, this one's going to be great. This one's going to do it. It's going to be the best shot I ever hit. And then all of a sudden you just see it go, oh, great.
Here was a story I saw John Oran from the Sports Business Journal about networks pumping in fake crowd noise, because this is going to happen. It is. Everybody's getting prepared for this. They're trying to figure out the best way to produce games in empty stadiums and arenas. And the executives from the top TV networks suggest that fans should get used to the idea of artificial sounds. It's going to be the version of the laugh track that you'll hear on sitcoms. Fox Sports looked into the idea of using pumped-in crowd noise soon after leagues suspended their seasons in March. After studying telecasted games with no fans, they decided the lack of a crowd roar was noticeable on baseball and football telecast. Fox Sports did not use artificial noise for its NASCAR coverage earlier this month. For example, because the lack of crowd noise was not noticeable given the roar of the engines. Yes. I don't listen for the crowds when I'm watching a NASCAR event, NASCAR race. With football and baseball has so much quiet time where you're relying on some of the crowd noise, the ambiance there. College football, we praise announcers when they lay out because we want to bring the crowd noise in. Brings us closer to the game. I don't know if you have that many moments now when college football comes back or baseball where the announcer is laying out to allow the artificial noise to come in, because it might scream, hey, that's artificial noise that you're laying out for. So this is a baseball game. Baseball's back, and I just pump in this noise. And Justin Verlander and the Astros leading 2-1, and Verlander deals to Cody Bellinger.
2-2.
Yeah. All right.
Should we add in a...
Wow. Wow. No. Cody Bellinger's at the plate.
Oh, right. Sorry.
Yes, Todd.
What if you hear you're a bum, Judge, and it's a Twins-Mariners game, and they didn't edit that part out. They start referring to some player that's not even in that game because they didn't check for continuity.
Oh, so they...
You're a bum, Judge, and it's a Mariners Pirates.
So you're talking about Aaron Judge?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You confused me like there was a judge.
No, someone's yelling a specific player, and they should have edited it out. They didn't realize they can't just put it in for any game because that team's not even...
Like you're a bum there. Trout.
Right. There you go.
Yeah, that would have worked.
And it'd be like a White Sox Astros.
Yeah. Let's go around the room. Best and worst of the weekend. Todd, I'll start with you.
Okay, best and worst of the weekend. My best, I attended my friend's daughter's backyard high school graduation. The parents made a speech. They had balloons, banners, cupcakes, socially distant chairs. I thought that was really nice out of a tough situation. That was supposed to be her graduation day Sunday, and they made it up as if it was just a makeshift graduation in the backyard. Worst of the weekend, in the pace lap of the Coca-Cola 600, two pieces of tungsten jumped out of our friend Denny Hamlin's frame rails. Tungsten's a heavy material which can cause serious injury on the track. The crew chief, the car chief, and the engineer all suspended four races because that happened.
Yeah, I didn't know what it meant. I just knew that, I guess if tungsten falls off your car, it's an automatic four-race suspension there. Who knew? McLovin, best and worst.
It's all contained in the Eli Manning Twitter universe. So Eli Manning joined Twitter this week.
He was good. He was funny.
Yeah. And then I give the best to Tom Brady to come on and say, this is what Brady said. Welcome, Eli Manning. In typical fashion, you never showed up until the fourth quarter anyway. I thought that was the best. That Eli came at him during the match was pretty funny.
Yeah. I thought it was well done. I thought Eli, sneaky good. Seton O'Connor?
My best of the weekend was Peyton Manning during the golf event, because there's been so much talk of him sort of getting in the booth and seeing more of him on TV as an announcer. And it just sort of gave you a little bit more of him, sort of what he's like when he's just being himself. That, I don't know, I think he's going to be pretty great should that day come.
I would love to see it. I just don't think it's going to happen. I don't think he's going to be an analyst. Now, this was brought up to me a couple of times by a couple of people who work in TV. Mm. Hey, do you think Phil would be a good analyst? Phil Mickelson. And I went, I don't know. There's a know-it-all feel to Phil, and you have to know when to stop talking. Mm. He's very bright, and he understands, the nuances of golf, which is what we want to know. But I want, somebody's laughing at themselves. Faldo became a lot better golf analyst by laughing at himself, because he was pretty stoic when he played and he didn't share a lot of personality there. When we've been around him, I found him to be great and self-deprecating. And that's what you need. You won your majors, have a little bit of fun, be human when you're doing that. But I don't know if you would have Phil try to out Tony Romo. And that would make me a little nervous. Mm. Do you have a worse there, Seat?
Oh, boy, do I ever.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, this is, things are going so well today. I hate to do this to you guys, but official word that Nickelback night has been canceled. Salem Red Sox. Yeah.
I think you got it right with Nickelbite.
Nickelbite. Nickelbites. Yeah, Nickelback night canceled.
Postponed or canceled? That's a big difference.
Well, I don't know, but it doesn't sound like it's happened. It was supposed to happen next week, so.
And they sent us all those Nickelback albums, or the band. I'm not going to send them back, but the band or their manager sent me all of their albums. Yeah. And I appreciated that. Paulie, best and worst of the weekend.
Jeez, I don't know if it could get worse than that, but Nickelback night canceled. Patrick Ewing getting the coronavirus. Yeah. Yo, I mean.
Yeah, that was bad too.
Yeah, that was bad. I heard it. That, you know, he's the last person I've hugged in my life besides, you know, my wife and kids, maybe. So that was that one hurt. I thought the best was TNT bringing in Barkley on the golf event. Barkley is not scared to jab people. He really makes almost any event better as an on-air host. He can, all the golfers know who he is and can have fun with him, and he can bust chops and take a beating. He's pretty good on air.
Yeah, but that's what makes Charles so good, is Charles can say something, he can be serious about something, or he can dress up something that is serious and have a little fun with it, but you can also fire parting shots. When Brady had the line, he said, I thought this was a champions event. And it was, wow. I went, whoa, I love that. But, you know, Charles loves to just laugh or make people laugh. He just wants to have a good time. And if he's the butt of the joke, he takes it because he certainly dishes. All right, more phone calls coming up. 877-3DP-SHOW. Did we come up with a new poll question, McLevin? You want to unveil it when we come back?
I'll unveil it when we come back.
All righty. Back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live every day at youtube.com/The Dan Patrick Show.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Cameron Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip? But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going
to
pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like.
Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season two of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley.
and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More phone calls coming up, best and worst of the weekend. Saw a couple of tweets from Bomani Jones over the weekend. Great respect for Bo. He says, I wouldn't blame Cam Newton if he retired. He doesn't need a piddly million dollars to be a backup. If his new life is signing and hoping somebody gets hurt, I'd consider my next life. He don't need it. That's Bomani Jones. There's just a fascination with Cam Newton because we don't know if we've seen the best that he has. Can he come back from these injuries? He's 31 years of age. He's put out videos. Like, they're not high-quality videos. I'd probably fire his videographer, but dress it up a little bit. It always looks like somebody took this and they're not supposed to be taking it. Like, oh, we're going to sneak in and see a workout with Cam. And maybe that's what they're trying to do. Hey, you're not supposed to be shooting this video here of Cam. He looks okay. You know, nobody's tackling him. Nobody is rushing him. But footwork, arm strength, okay. I hope he gets a chance because I love watching him play. And that's, I go back to what the Chargers draft philosophy was. If you're sold on Justin Herbert, or you were just taking Justin Herbert because you weren't going to get Tua Tagovailoa, I don't know if I would have used that draft pick, sixth overall, to take a quarterback who's not going to be playing this year, and I don't know if he'll play next year. At least that appears to be the consensus. Could Cam Newton have been a better option for you? And that way, you use that draft pick, and you take a great defensive player, an impactful defensive player, because the Chargers are trying to win now. And if I get somebody, if I got Isaiah Simmons, and I put him on that defense, I've got a defense that is as good as any defense in the NFL. If Cam comes in and Cam's able to play, great. If not, then it's Tyrod Taylor's team. And with Tyrod Taylor, is he going to be better than Justin Herbert this year? Yes. Now, bigger plans long term, maybe Justin Herbert turns out to be a really good pro. I just don't know if people are in love with Justin Herbert. I think they were in love with Joe Burrow and Tua Tagovailoa. And Justin Herbert may find himself in the best situation. As I've told you, when you're a quarterback and you go to a team that doesn't need you right away, but you have the elements for success around you, that's when you succeed. Patrick Mahomes in Jacksonville would be a good quarterback. He would not be the league MVP. He wouldn't be, because he wouldn't have the players around him. He would have had a slower start there. Who knows what his confidence level would be if he played his first year there? You don't know these things. Deshaun Watson, if you put him on a substandard team, he's good, but he's not Deshaun Watson. It helps when you go to a team that is one or two players away from being back to where they once were. Justin Herbert may get that opportunity, but I would have looked at Cam Newton, and I would have drafted. If I put Simmons on there, or one of these defensive players where you already have an elite defense, you've got some offensive weapons here, and it feels like if you're going to go against Kansas City, you can't out-chief the Chiefs on offense, but you can play great defense against Mahomes. Yeah, McLovin.
I feel like that snake-bitten thing with the Chargers and Cam Newton is just too scary for them. Is that... No, because they had the best talent.
Well, he's not going to cost you a lot. If you bring him in, you just say, hey, we'll do an incentive-laden contract and see if he can play. But if you are sold on Justin Herbert and you feel like he's the next 5 years, okay, then fine. That you're absolutely positively sold on him. I get the feeling they would have taken Tua if Tua was there instead of Justin. Then you're not all in on a quarterback. hey, we'll take whatever one falls to it. It doesn't work that way in the NFL. It's rare. You know, you got Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes. Hey, we'll take whatever one falls to us. Okay. But then you could also have a situation where you say, hey, Mitchell Trubisky, or throw out somebody. You know, then you could end up with a really bad situation. Sean in California. Hey, Sean, best and worst of the weekend.
Good morning, Dan. And Dan Ants, how are you today?
I'm great.
All right. Well, I have a best and worst, and then a proposed new NFL overtime rule. Best of the weekend by far was getting the chance to reopen our restaurant here in California this past weekend. We were packed the entire weekend. We were making money again, making great food. It was awesome.
Good.
Worst of the weekend was working about 60 hours in the last 4 days because we opened back up again. So, that was that, but it was overall great.
Right.
New overtime rule that I was thinking about, just because I think football is the ultimate team sport, a new overtime rule could be, what if we put more pressure on the least popular guy in the team, the kicker? What if we do something like soccer where we do sudden death, 40-yard field goals, the last team to, or the first team to miss loses?
Well, thank you for the phone call, Sean. I'm glad that you're open for business. Yes, Paul.
That may be the worst idea of 2020.
I wasn't going to say that.
I'll handle this one.
All right.
Emphasizing the kicking game and taking football players out the field.
It used to be called sudden death. That's why if you got the ball and you scored, it was over. Now it's, well, you should get the ball, and then we get the ball, and you didn't get the ball. And that's not, like, it's sudden death overtime is what it should be.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season, on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season 2 of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.